He's here with us. And isn't he worthy to be praised? I don't have to be nailed to the cross. No, he went there instead of me. I supposed to die. But he says, no. I will die instead of you. He's telling every one of us the same. That's why he's worthy. He's good. Good shepherd, isn't he? He doesn't want me to perish because he's eternal God. He's here just to let you know that you are beloved. I don't know, do you remember what we, where we started yesterday, you know? Can you greet each other as prince and princess? Please, just greet other. Please, because the Lord is king. He's your father. So, how are you, princess? Glad to see you, you know? Your father told me to shake your hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. He's good. He's good. He's doing something tonight. And I'm sure every one of you brought some 12 baskets with him. You know what does that mean, right? The Lord going to give you enough to feed on, and then we'll have for every one of you 12 baskets to take with you. Other people are hungry, you know. They are waiting for that, what we are going to carry. So we praise the Lord and we thank him, Pastor. He is good. Can you imagine, you know, that I forgot to bring the flesh memory with me, you know, to have the material printed. And the pastor said, oh, God has a new message for us, you know. So you don't need to worry. So we don't need to worry, you know. But that's why we have helpmates. God put them aside, you know. My wife, when she left, she saw the flesh memory on the laptop, you know, and said, oh, let me take it with me. So now we know why we have, you know, Anna and Petra beside us. Hallelujah. So we remember who we are in the Lord. We remember what he called us. That's why we greet each other, you know, prince, princess. Because, again, I repeat this verse from 1 Peter, you know, 2:9, he said, but you are a chosen generation. Please remind yourself every day. You are not that person who is in trouble. You are not that person who the people say about you, you are bad, you are not good, you are not worthy. No, no. You are a chosen generation, a royal high priest. It's that you are not only a priest, a royal. This is something, you know, something different, you know. An holy nation. You are holy. Can you imagine, you know? Of course, now you are not in the flesh and you are struggling, but the Holy One is in you and he is going to purge everything which is not his. And one day then you will look him in the face and you recognize him. Hey, Holy One. And he will look at your face and say, hey, Holy One, I made you holy. And he will do that because one day we're going to see him face to face. And then he's going to show us everything that he was doing. You will be surprised what he was doing. Sometimes we forget about what he is doing. You see what he said, you know? We are a peculiar people, special, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to imagine every day you move and walk in the light. So you are shiny, right? That's what we call, you know, believers in Iraq, shiny. Hey, shiny, how you doing? And you know what they say? Swimming. Because we are swimming in the blessing. That's what we say. Literally, when we greet each other, we say that. It seems very strange if somebody say, how are you? Say, swimming. What is he? What? Yes, but you are swimming in the blessing because he blessed you with all heavenly blessing, right? So, and sometimes said, well, God, can you give me some blessing? Extra. What can he give you if he has given you everything? So tonight, please, I hope that literally you brought your bags with you, extra bags, because the Lord wants you to take something with you, you know. Something is good for you. So let us read it from Romans 14:12. This is how we start, you know. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Well, it doesn't seem that we are going to take some bags with us. Maybe we are taking them to prison, you know. We have to be accountable before God. And if he asks you when you meet him in the cloud, if he asks you when the end of time comes and we are only in the eternal, hey, princess, I gave you so much, you know. What did you do with that? And you look at him and said, you know that, just look there. And you have thousand and thousand there that were saved because of you. Because you went to the world as he commanded you and just gave them that bread, you know. That's why the Lord told Peter to feed his sheep, you know that? So we have to learn to feed the sheep. And we have many lost sheep. It's not only one. We think only the prodigal son is only one. But he's an example of generations. But we are a different generation. We are a chosen generation. Do you feel that you are chosen? Some of you, maybe they have worries. You know, the one who can solve every problem is here tonight to take all your troubles, your problems away. You want to give him? Give him. You see, I wrote this today because the Lord somehow changed the course of the direction of my heart, because he wanted you to know that we have a revival and we connected with Christ, you know, second coming. Because revival we needed, because if they shout, "Behold the bridegroom," then you have no time to do anything. Either you are ready or you are not. If you try to be ready, you are lost. If you prepare to be ready, you are lost. You see, when they say, "Behold," and then you are already there. Where? There. You know where, right? There, in the light, forever. You see, so some of those people who believe, they believe. They are still seeking him. They are still trying to find out what is his kingdom. Well, what can we do in the kingdom? You see. But I always remember what the Lord said, you know, and we, if we read in John 14, verses 1 to 3, this is something wonderful, blessing for me. And I always play this measure and always show the people this. I come. Of course, this is the, you know, the logo of our ministry, you know, International Christian Outreach Ministry, you know. But it is what the Lord said, you know. He says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, unto myself." I don't want you to imagine that he would take you somewhere. He's going to be always hugging you. He's always keeping you with him, in him. That's why we are called the members of the body of Christ. We are not the members of Congress. We are not the members of an organization. We are the members of the body of Christ, the living Christ, who is worthy to be praised. And this living Christ today, he wants to just literally remind you, are you literally looking and living every day according to the kingdom standard or not? Which standard are you living every day? You know, I was searching in the Bible today again, and the word kingdom of God was mentioned literally more than 70 times in the New Testament, 54 times in the four Gospels, 54 times. And pastor, he knows, people who study the word, when something is repeated in the Bible, it is essential. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Why the Lord was keeping reminding us, you know. You know, the Bible talk about, you know, past kingdom, which is the eternal, God is always king. The Lord is talking about the future kingdom. Christ will be the ruler, the king. But today we are living in the current kingdom on earth. You see, don't always think that when Jesus is gone, the kingdom is gone. It's wrong. It's never. Because he came to establish his kingdom here on earth. And you and I, we are the chosen generation. We're going to prove to the world that the kingdom exists. And the existence of the kingdom is very simple. You walk, and somebody dead behind you stand up and run behind you. And I mean it literally. It is not a joke. This is biblical. You know, the apostles, they were moving, and their shadows fall on people. And those people were delivered, healed. Is he glorious? Is he worthy to be praised? Is he worthy to follow? Can you trust him with everything? Well, Pastor, with everything, but, you know, I have some issues. I have to solve them myself. Forget it. You have to surrender completely to the Lord. So the Lord is telling us, it is me today here with you. I want to take you to higher ground, you know. You know, I wrote this intentionally. In the past, Israel was a theocracy. Theocracy, which means God is the king. And they had some kind of human rebellion. Oh, we want kings like the other nation. So in reality, they overthrow the king. And he was a gentleman. He decided, well, no problem. Choose one of your people. I will be aside, but because he's a father, he continued, you know, walking with them. And you know their story. It is my story. It is your story. Sometimes we decide, no, he is no more my king. I am the king. I want to do it my way. So let us remember, you know, that the people decided they want that king. Though he told them that he is their king, their God, he's their father. Please don't ever do the mistake because you will never have peace. And we know Israel since that day until this day, they don't have peace. But I'm glad and with joy, I would say that the Prince of Peace one day will come to restore Israel. And finally, he's going to break those hearts, stony hearts, you know, rocky heart, and bring them back to him. But they have to go through a lot of tribulations. So do you want the king to literally rule in your life? Then behave like a prince or princess. This is the first principle to be royal. This is the first principle that people will recognize you are different. Well, that's why the enemy is trying different ways. Some men dressing like women, they want to be different. This is the enemy, how we work. Trying always to literally, you know, do the contrary of what God wants. God wants you to multiply. He said, well, man with man and woman with woman, it's all so normal. Why not? This is your freedom. But he did not tell you it's your freedom, you know, to destruction. Because a man with man and a woman with woman cannot fill the earth. The rules of the ruler, they are always the same. God never changed. Who said that Christ was different? He was the same yesterday, today, and hallelujah, forever. He cannot change. Love can always be and must be always love. He cannot be half love. Sometimes we love our brothers as long as they are good to us. But the Heavenly Father, he loves us always. The only thing that he hates in us when we sin. The only thing he doesn't like in us when we decide that we are wiser than him. And then when Christ is riding, you know, in front of us and going and guiding us on his way, and then we try always to make these shortcuts. These shortcuts, trust me, they will only delay, you know, your journey on earth as it did with the Israelites. So they decided to have a different king. They decided. And the end of it, we know it. We don't need to talk about it. You know, we need to pray. Our prayer should be very special prayer. I love when the Lord Jesus, you know, I wanted to imagine this. Come, teach us how to pray. You think they don't know how to pray? But why did they ask him? And he gave them this wonderful, what we call it, the Lord's Prayer. In that, he showed them something. He declared, there is a kingdom. You see, remember. And of course, you know, the Israelites said, great, there is a kingdom. When are you going to overthrow the Romans? I'm taking you there for a reason, you know. Because sometimes we think when God is working our heart, he's going to fulfill our heart desire, the selfish heart desire. And you know what? Sometimes he does. For a reason, for a purpose. Because he must teach us a lesson. And we go to learn it, you know, the hard way, you know. Look here. The Pharisees, you know, pressed Jesus, asking him when the kingdom of God would come. See, we can go to Luke. Wonderful. I love how the Spirit works. You know, I say something and something is appearing there. Hallelujah. This is good, you know. This is coordination. Hallelujah. You see, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You cannot see it with your eye. I know my Lord, sometimes he plays with the word. He plays also with the tradition. Look, he's going to knock them out. You know that? Jesus told them that the kingdom of God was already in their midst. How do I recognize the kingdom of God in our midst? When I'm sitting and a man beside me just stands up and walks. When my brother who is sick is healed. When my mother who could not walk, she just said, hey, hallelujah, you healed my son, now heal me. And you know what? He healed her. And she was the second one in the line, you know, to believe in the Lord after me. This is when we know that the kingdom is here. So he said, it is in your midst, you know. But they wanted immediate political, you know, dominance. Get rid of those Romans. You see. But Christ was about the implement, you know, to implement the internal, you know, kingdom. We don't understand. It is here, internal, in your heart. That's why we say, come, Lord. Be Lord here in my heart, right? But please leave, you know, the right side for me. Don't ever do that. Because when he comes, he's so big. Can you imagine Jesus? He makes himself so small and to come in your heart. For me, I always, you know, really, I wonder, how amazing is this God? He is willing to leave this amazing universe to come to earth. What do we have here on earth? 8 million sinners. Maybe among them a few believers, you and I. Maybe. He said it. If the man, the son of, if man will come back, would he find faith on earth? You know what does that mean? So he knows that few people would be really believers. And I am glad that you are, you know, from those few people. Few according to the heavenly standard, which means maybe 3 billions. Did you get it? The heavenly standard, when we say few people in our language, but in his language, few people might be 3 billion people or maybe 30 billion people. We are going back to the time of Jesus. But it's still for him, it's not enough because we were singing, he died for the whole world. And how many of those following him? So the Lord is talking about this, you know, and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Believe that. Receive that. Let him work. Because if it is within you, then it must somehow show itself. And it will show itself because this is the kingdom of God. This is the presence of the Lord. This is his work. And that's why it's not no wonder for you and me if we are going to do the same thing that he did, any greater. Which basket are you going to open now, the first or the second or the third?
I don't know.
How much bread did you receive until now? The kingdom of Christ is invisible to our eyes, to the people's eyes. But now and then, he let it shine. And you feel it when he's touching a little girl and letting her speak. She did not speak here her whole life. It's just sometimes when you pray for somebody in Australia, and I love what the pastor said yesterday. Sometimes we would like to minister, and we stand here and people come. It's wonderful. We used to do that. But once when we are in Iraq, we are praying for somebody who's supposed to be operated, you know, in a few hours. You know, we had that time difference. So they called relatives and we were by them and they said, oh, well, she's going to be operated in her heart because she had this and this and that. And they asked, can you pray for her? It's not only me. We were other people. And my wife was there and said, I always looked at my wife, I said, let us unite and pray. We are only united in a prayer. Maybe in everything we are divided, but only prayer is good. Most of the time we do like that, you know. In money we are always, you know, divided. You know? Yeah. With cars it's the same, you know. But prayer, there is no choice because we have to submit to the Lord. And so we prayed. And I want you to take it with you home. I hope that will be filling the second basket, you know. We prayed. And we were there. They were, you know, bringing food, you know, in the Orient, like in Jesus' time. They always try to feed you, you know. Yeah. So we have to fast for 40 days, you know, and now and then, you know, so we could be literally flat, you know. And it took maybe a few hours. And then we received a call from Australia. And says, hallelujah. Of course, for me, I hear, you know, the open mic, you can hear, you see, speaker, hallelujah. And of course, immediately as a response, it's as a reflex in me. I said, hallelujah, what happened? And they told us, you know. I wanted to imagine the woman who was prepared for the operation. Everything is ready. They have the x-ray. Somehow the doctor said, let us take, you know, x-ray for the heart before going, you know, to the operation room. And they took it. What is this? This is the wrong patient. Hallelujah. I want to. It is the king, you know. And the king, when he decides, release. So you are released, you know. And that's what happened. So we don't need always to make it like religious. We have to stand only in this spot. We were talking about the altars. We were talking about the holy places. We were talking about heaven touching earth, and the Lord is his responsibility, not mine. I just prayed normal prayer with my wife that night, and the Lord did something. This, you have to take it in your basket and remember, everywhere I go, I pray in the name of the Lord. Everywhere, you know, I pray for people, no matter where they are. And I do believe in faith that my Lord is a healer, and he will heal them. It might be simultaneously, it might be later. It depends upon him. But for me, he told me to pray, and I pray. He said, Lord, you are the healer. Touch our Lord. Heal her. Let them know that you are God. And what do you think what the doctor said that in Israel? I mean, he was shocked. He said, are you a Christian? By the way, he was not a Christian. He was a Muslim. They have many, many doctors in Britain and Australia. They were Muslim. So he was shocked that her God healed him. The kingdom is unseen, but you can make it seen. Can you imagine if tomorrow you meet somebody, a believer, in front of everybody, and you come and say, hey, Prince, how are you? They think that his name is Prince, but no. Treat him like a prince. Treat her like a princess. Let the world know that you belong to the kingdom of God. If you don't let them know, then the kingdom maybe will hesitate to do something. Then maybe you have to do something else. Maybe you have to go and tell them that you are a Christian. Maybe you have to give them a flyer. Maybe you have to tell them about Jesus with words. But why don't let God, do it his way? Only all what you have to do, behave like, you know, literally a child of God, a prince of a princess. Declare the kingdom through your way of life. And my way of life is very royal. I am not afraid. I am not ashamed. Keep this in mind. Shame and fear is never from the Lord. That's why 360 times the Bible said, don't fear, don't fear, don't. For every day one, I always think, These they use are the lunar calendar, you know, calendar. So we have 360 days like the Israelite. So we have 360 times the Bible is written, don't fear. And don't be ashamed. Shame is from the devil. Adam and Eve, they were not ashamed walking with God as they were, you know. No problem. But the devil later, because of sin, so suddenly, oh, they know that they were, you know. Yeah. So please, don't fear, don't be ashamed. If you feel fear, remember what the Lord told you. Don't fear. That's what he said. That's why he said, first, don't fear. If you don't fear, then you know that he's coming. Because he started, don't fear, and then said, I will come. I come. Our ministry. Let me tell you something about life and death, about our ministry, and then I would be going to the rebuilding the tent of David. I'm not going much about it, but there is a reason that I mention it, because it was mentioned also in the Revelation, you know, that thing will happen about that. You know, we work literally among dead people. For us, everyone who is not a believer, he's a dead man, you know, or woman. So we try to be alive. Sometimes, really, we knock them out, you know, with a box just on the side, and you just tell them like this, say, hey, your Quran said Jesus is the Spirit of God. Do you know what does that mean?
He looks at you, so, what is this?
Most of them, they cannot read and write, but they are worshiping Allah. So we try to remind them what is written in the Quran, and that's a knockout. For us, they are dead people. And this just one question the Spirit can use to save the soul of that person. So it is wonderful to work among dead people. It's very easy. You just kick them with a question, and then the Lord starts working. So I don't know, maybe the Heavenly Father is recording a lot of things that, hey, Salman is giving me a lot of work. Is it the same about you? The Lord can write in his book of life that you are giving a lot of work. It is very important for the children of God to keep their father busy, because he's always at work. And if you don't keep him busy, maybe he might take a break. And it's very dangerous if God takes a break. Trust me. Yeah, trust me. The Lord took a short break from the Israelites, and he did not talk to them for 500 long years. But they continued worshiping, though they did not, he did not talk to them. So we are fallen in religion. Go back to the Lord, do what he told you to do, and let him do what he wants to do. And he wants to do one thing. He wants to save everyone. Which basket are you opening now? We are reading from the Acts 15, 12, 18. It's a very long reading. It said, all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Look, I love this testimony. Look what Barnabas and Paul said, declaring what God. Sometimes we say, well, the Lord healed him, you know. I am a healer. I hate that when people are standing before the audience said, well, I am a healer. And once I was very impolite and I said, sir, I don't think you are a healer. You are a sick man, because if you are a healer, then we don't need Jesus. He was a preacher of the word. And he looked at me and said, who are you? I don't am nobody. And I meant it. I am nobody. And I told him, the healer is only Jesus. If you can say, Jesus healed him through me. See, you cannot say you are a healer. How could you be a healer if you tomorrow you're going to die? Huh? Jesus cannot die, you know. He wanted to die once for us, and that's all. But he is alive, and forever will be alive. So we are not healers. The Lord is the healer. The good thing here, the Holy Spirit put it on the heart of course, the doctor, you know, Lucas, and he wrote, Barnabas declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered saying, and I like it, the declaration of the tabernacle of David. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared, you know, Simon Peter, right? Had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Do you know he's talking about Abraham? Right? So he took, and to this agree to the words of the prophets as it's written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. So the Lord himself is going to build. You know, we hear, we went in Washington, D.C., and they have this tabernacle of David there. I like it. They are coming, worshiping, praying, doing a lot of things, talking to people. It's wonderful. You know, we have Wilderness Tabernacle, you know, in Virginia, Culpeper, and they are doing a great job. You know, they are praying and reaching out to people. But one thing is sure, that the Lord is the one to build the tabernacle of David. It's not you. You are the one to initiate. Just prepare the ground like a farmer. Try to plow the ground, and then the Lord will do something there. Doing that means that you have to go to the people. You have to reach out to them. You have to pray for them. You have to declare the name of the Lord day and night if possible. Well, how can I do it during the night? Don't worry. The Spirit can wake you up. You see, this is what he did with us when we started praying for America. He put it on our heart to pray for America 6 o'clock in the morning. What? 6 o'clock in the morning? Who's going to wake up? Don't worry. God will wake you up. And trust me, if you ask my wife, you know, what? No matter what I do, a few minutes before 6, I am up. But she's always 5:30 up before me. So sometimes she comes and said, are you up? And I look at her, said yes. Because she just woke me up, you know. So you have a helpmate, you know, to help you to wake up. So the Lord is the one to do that. The Lord put it on our heart to pray for America. And we pray until this day. You know, the brethren in Iraq, they're always kneeling on knees, you know, and praying for America. So the Lord is the one to do this. We pray, and the Lord will do something. And I am coming for a prayer. Even in Amos, you know, chapter 9, verse 11, 12, the Lord again, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen. Again is the Lord. It's not you and me. We are co-workers. Some people, they like to be the main worker. And the only main worker is God, the worker of miracles. I think this belongs to the fourth basket. I don't know. Who is the worker of miracles? Our Lord Jesus, right? He is the one to do it. But he needs a vessel to use. You are the gloves that he is using to touch people. Because if he touches them with his hand, they will burn. So he has to use you. Remember we talked about fire last night? Fire. If he touches anybody, he will burn, you know. He touched just once, you know, the sons of Aaron, and you know what happened. They just pulverized in front of the eyes of the congregation. So he needs you and me as gloves to touch people, to change them, to prepare them, to prepare their heart, and then something will happen. And to you, the Lord prompted me to take this and read four verses to you. And these four verses always remind you who you are. Don't forget who you are. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are, this is in a plural, all. We have two kinds, you as a person and ye as plural. Know you not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Who? Do you feel the Spirit in you? What he's telling you right now. To honor him, to be pure, to be perfect, to be holy, to watch out your lips, to watch out when you look at people. What he's telling you? You know, to curse maybe some politician because they are not good, or to bless them. What he's telling you about your nation, about other nations. What he's telling you right now? You know, the Spirit is telling me right now, he said, literally, you know, there is joy because the Spirit brings joy. He is happy because you allowed him to be there. And he's happy because he did not have to force himself to come in your heart. And this is what the Lord is telling you. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit is in you. He did not say was, he dwelleth now in you. Sometimes we forget that. And trust me, if you go to the wrong place, the Spirit is very grieved. Hey, where are you going? What? Really? He is doing nothing, you know. He wanted just to go to a bank and rob it, you know. And the Spirit is in him. And I know many Christians, they did commit crimes, you know. And the Spirit knocked them out later in prison. And they came better believers out from prison. So I don't want you to go to the wrong place and take the Holy Spirit to the wrong place. Please go to a holy ground. Come to the church, you know. Go to a prayer group. Maybe greet your neighbor who hates you, you know, and give them a holy kiss. Well, sorry, don't do that. In Iraq, we do that because here they may think you are somehow, you know, crazy. And then we go back and see here. He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Wow. 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 Oh, he's a compassionate God. Yes. He's a holy God. Yes. He's a loving God. Yes. Yeah. But don't ever. Don't. I mean, can you imagine he left his heaven and he came to your heart and you are going to dirty place? What do you think what he's going to do? Nothing. Just to destroy you. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Again, in the plural, you. The church is a holy ground. And Pastor, I thank you for this and I love you for this and I will be praying for it. Keep this place holy. Don't let this thing of the world come here. It is a holy place. Otherwise, you know, the Lord, he said, oh, what he's going to do, God destroy. Oh, and I don't want this to happen, not even for my enemies. And the third one said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Two things he take with you. This is for the fifth basket. You see, we are going somewhere there, you know? Here, you know that the Holy Ghost is God. He's the same. Did you hear it? There God, and there the temple of God is suddenly here. The Holy Ghost. And then, and ye are not your own. Jesus bought you with his blood. We were just worshiping and singing and saying and declaring that. And all the angels, both of them, we say the black and the white. Oh, maybe this is, I don't know. Am I racist now? And in Iraq, we don't care about that. You know, which means the angels of light with God, the host of heaven, and those fallen angels, all of them. Now they are watching. You see? And the saints also, they are watching, seeing how God is touching your hearts, how the Spirit is moving you, reminding you of a few things. And I want you to imagine what he says, you know? Are you sure you are the temple? The Holy Ghost is there in you, and you are not your own. Jesus, I am not my own. I love that song before, you know. I was literally dead in the grave. I had no time to live, and the doctor declared me a dead man. But I'm glad that in heaven somewhere, the glorious Jesus said, hey, gentlemen, are you kidding me? I have appointed him for something else, you know? And he decided to literally snatch me out of the mouth of death. And this is my Jesus. So you know that the Holy Ghost in you? Is he telling you right now something?
Don't listen to Salman. He's telling you a lot of stories.
Maybe. Yes. But I tell you only biblical stories. And the Lord wants you to come nearer. To let him just literally whisper in your eyes. Sometimes he comes as a whisper. You know, sometimes he comes as a storm. Sometimes he comes as a fierce storm, like a storm of fire. So let him whisper tonight, you know. Let him just tell you who you are and what he has for you. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So that's why when I pray, you want healing? Where? Your daughter there? No problem. We claim in the name of Jesus healing for her. Lord, now it's finished for us. It's your business. And that's it. You don't need to be religious. Jesus was doing like this. Well, I just told you it's biblical. He told him, Lord, my servant, or Lord, my daughter. And he just said, okay, it's done. And it is done. Please, let the Lord rejoice in you. Let the Lord give you more of his glory. Because the glory is not easy to bear. It is like when you receive, you know, food. So you have, sometimes your stomach is getting really puffed. So you cannot eat anymore. So he had to give you like a little baby slowly, milk and then maybe some solid food and maybe some, I don't know, we say in Iraq, some bullets, which means you can't chew it, you know, metal, you know that? Are you the temple of God? Are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you the temple of the living God? So be that. It's very simple to be that if you believe it. Pastor said yesterday, faith. If you don't have faith, everything I say has no value. If you have faith, and I am not speaking my words, you know, I am speaking his word. Let the Lord touch you. Let the Lord do something in your life. A revelation, I am reading, I'm jumping to Revelation 21. Yeah, freed of time, you know. So please, if we, you know, end up until Jesus coming in the clouds, so please don't stone me. You know? Yeah. In Revelation, it reads like this, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, or the tent of God, is with man. That's the reality with the tent of David represents. He says, God with man. He is with us. And he must be with us. Why? Because he is in us. And this is for you to contemplate, to think about. You know, this needs at least 5 baskets because, you know, to understand that I am a man, I'm a sinful man in a sinful body with sinful thought and maybe very filthy mouth. But God is there. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. From inside out. He's not painting you new. No, no. He's literally making you new. So you are a new creation. And the Creator is in you. And he's working slowly but surely. We have another cell here with another thought here. And he's pushing you and suddenly you stand. And people will recognize that a new creation. And it's, as I said, the kingdom of God had this amazing thing that lets you just love your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. And we think, it's very easy. Of course, I love every Iranian. Yes. If they were dead. You see, because they try to destroy us. Can you imagine somebody in Israel to love Iran? But you know what? Yes, they do. They have churches there, and they have believers, even Jews, you know, Jewish people. They said, the Lord God, the reality, told us not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament to love our enemies. And they are right. But we did not practice that. We hated them. We always tried to be the big bosses. And now today, look where we are. So the kingdom of God is here. The living Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is working. He is trying to cleanse. He's maybe cleansing, pushing away some thoughts in your mind about the church here. Just to cleanse in your mind about some people around you that you had some issues with them. It's just to cleanse in your mind about your government. Many they don't know. Even if we have dictator, the Bible tells us to pray for them. You see, the Israelites, they were praying even for the oppressors, you know, in Babylon. And the Lord said, hey, just to bless them. How could I, you know, by the river of Babylon, there we wail when we remember Zion. How could I bless them? Just do that and see what I'm going to do. And the Lord did the miracle. As he promised, 70 years later, they were freed. But a man he named 200 years before his birth. And this is one of the greatest miracles of the Bible. I want you to imagine somebody become a king and Daniel presented to him a letter from God. This is from God. He wrote it to you 200 years ago before your birth. That's your God. Can you love your enemies? Can you let the Spirit cleanse your mind? Can you change the direction of your thinking?
Or are you willing to remember that Christ died for you while you were a sinner? So why should I not love other sinners like he loved me? And I just want to mention one more word, and I think God today changed something to the best, because he's taken me to other ground. It's for you. You know, the word tent mentioned in the Gospel of John, you know, chapter 1:14. And said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, you know. And we beheld his glory, the glory as one of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here, you know, dwelt among us a reality, literally, if you go to it in the Greek, it means, you know, pitch a tent in our midst. And that was it. God was with Israel, Emmanuel. That's why you call him Emmanuel. He was there. Revival. Revival, I told the pastor before he came, is always connected, not only, he said it, you have life, you nearly died, and you have to be revived. You pumped with the new life. We just push some air in their mouth, you know, until they try somehow to breathe, you know, and push their hearts. And the Lord is sometimes, he had to do it with us, because sometimes we are so burdened with our worries and trouble that we forget that we have the Christ is in us, that we have his life, that we cannot die if our time is not come. And please take this in the ninth basket. This is a special basket you take with you. You cannot die, no matter what you try. Even if you try to commit suicide, it's very dangerous because you go directly, you know where. You see, if your time is not done, never. Everyone has a time written, and the Lord is encouraging you to believe in him. Revival has every connection with the coming of the Lord. Revival, which means that you have to be ready, always ready. As I said before, behold, and then the moment you say, bear, and then you are already there. Where is the pastor? I cannot see him. He's already hanging there halfway to heaven because he was ready. Some other pastors, yes, tell me, what is wrong here? Like my father. When my mom showed my father she was healed, you know what my father told her? Hey, what is happening, woman? You see, woman. And she told him, don't you see? Because she could not walk with that support. And she was running up and down the stairs. And you know what he told her? Shut up. And he went to sleep. Please don't be like that. You know, just be like that man. He said, behold, and suddenly he's halfway to heaven. Because that's what the Lord wants. Revival connected everything with the coming of the Lord. Revival, we need it every day, every hour, every minute, every second. If you are not revived now, you cannot be revived in 5 seconds if Jesus arrives now there. Because you have to be ready. You cannot say, oh, Lord, I was nearly ready. Nearly ready is infinite. In the race, you know, and I don't like to watch this Olympic stuff with all what they are doing, you know. But you know you have to be ready, right? If you miss it, you lose it. And with Jesus, even worse. He's very punctual. Behold the prodigal. Where are you? How far are you? Well, I am a wise virgin and I have, you know, the lamb is full. Yes. It is on, yes. But lady, you were slumbering. You were asleep when they called, behold. You see, I'm talking about the possessors who have the Holy Spirit and the professors. Those who have the Spirit, they slumber too when Jesus comes. And this is terrifying, especially when they have the Spirit in them. Because when Jesus comes literally like this, because every one of us connected to his body, he's just going to make like this and you will be just going up with him. Very easy, very simple for him, not for me. And I want you to believe that. You have to be ready. And the Lord gave us a wonderful example by his own words, you know. He just tried to give us an example about a Lord. He went away, you know, to a far country. But he called his servants and he gave them authority and gave every one of them his job, what to do. Everyone
So nobody can say, well, I don't know, Lord. No. I mentioned that the other day. I mentioned it today. And that's what he did. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Do it. And then he told us to watch. Watch for what? If I have the Spirit in me, if I have the eyes can discern everything, the Holy Spirit has given me the ability even to interpret tongues when I hear people speaking lies behind me and claiming something they say from the Lord. I can see everything. And as I said before, the Lord, because he is in you, going to show you heaven while on earth. It is in the Bible. Those three disciples, they were with the Lord, and suddenly they saw in the eternal the Lord is standing there and Moses and Elijah with him. This is you. You have the ability to discern. You have the ability to be ready. You have the ability to run if you want to run. And if you tell him, well, Lord, I am overweight, I cannot run. Don't worry. Trust me in the Lord, even if you are 300 kilo, you know. Trust me, you will fly. Do you think that if the Lord come in heaven and he want to take his because somebody's overweight, he will not reach him? Do you think that he will be delayed? It is not you. It is the Christ who is doing it. So for him, it's very normal. He can transfer. He told you with your little faith, like a mustard seed, you can transfer, you know. Yes, Pastor, we have 5 more minutes. You can transfer a mountain. You can command a mountain, you know, just to jump, you know, and you see, I will jump. So do you think your God cannot just snatch you there in the air? Maybe he might send 2 angels to help, but he don't need it. He can do it by himself. He's a good God. And I want you to understand that this Lord, he has given you everything. He commanded you, and he told you. In God we trust, we say. All right. How far? In this day, in this hour, how many literally believe in God and trust in God? I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about you. And when the Lord is telling you, my son, I gave you this, you are not sitting idle just playing with your fingers because you don't know what will happen. No. You know exactly. And the Spirit is here in you always to tell you, literally, hey, today is Sunday. Okay? Yeah, well, we have vacation. Yes. But God always comes first. Do you know that I never had vacation since the Lord called me? My vacation is I go with the Lord and sit by Anita and eat, you know, something from her hand. That's my vacation when I serve the Lord. Or I sit with the pastor and drink coffee. That's it. We don't have vacation. Of course, the Lord, he gave us the Sabbath. He gave us an example. We could have this. But when he's calling you, and he's calling you today, to be ready, to watch, and he has given you authority, why can't you just, execute authority? Why don't you just do it? If you do that, then the God of heaven will be glorified in your life. The Spirit is there. He is touching you. He is reminding you of things that you forgot to do. For example, when did you visit your uncle who's far away from you, you know, and knowing that he is not a believer? You know, I was threatened by my own family, but you know what? I always took gifts, oriental, and it's normal to take something with it. And I went to visit them. And then when they said, don't come here, I will kill you. And I said, no problem, but at least take the gifts. And you know what? Later, the Lord used these little gifts to break their hearts. And everyone in my family became a believer because of the work of God. Hallelujah. He's good. So, lady, when are you going to visit your sister? If you don't have maybe another sister, maybe another relative, maybe some far relative, maybe your old pastor, maybe another church. Maybe. Anyway, don't need to tell me. It's between you and the Lord. Please be encouraged to do these things. Let the Lord encourage you. You know, God creates the world through prayer. The more we pray, the more the world will change. Then the better we can counteract the evil. The prayers of God's saints are the main foundation of heaven with which God continues his work on earth. God directs his work according to the prayers of his saints.
Are you willing to pray? Which kind of prayer you want to pray? You know, you want to pray the way that God told you, or the way that you think it's right. We think we are ready. We think we are fit. We think that the Lord loves us and that's it. But we need to be ready for the Lord. Because when the call comes, then you are lost. If you are not saved already. Hallelujah. Some people will say, well, the Lord will not come tomorrow, you know. And that's exactly the mistake. Because he might come like a thief. And I told Brother Tim today, he said, if the Lord comes like a thief, what are we going to do? And the thief sometimes comes in the night. But not only. I know many thieves, they come in the day, during the day, right? You are on vacation and they come to break in your house. So the Lord, he said it for a reason, for a purpose, to wake you up. I don't want people to literally miss this opportunity, because then the Lord is going to just shut this door. You can tell him what you want. When he shuts, we know it. The Lord can open a door, nobody can shut. He can shut the door and nobody can open. And this opportunity is once, it's literally one-time event. Either you go or you stay. If you have now the 10th basket not filled, maybe now you can fill it. Because some people that will do that said, we did everything for the Lord. We worked everything for the Lord. But we did not see him working in our lives. I did not see a miracle since 10 years. Yes. But you are a child of God. You are in the kingdom. And the kingdom, millions of miracles happened. You did not see them, but your father did, because he did them. And one day he's going to count everything. You don't need to tell the pastor, well, pastor, we've been praying for this lady and she never came to church. 10 years I've been praying. And it's not your work. You pray and the Lord, we just read it, the Lord going to change your world. Not you. You have to pray, because you know there's power in your prayer. Because your God is a living God. He's listening and he can do something. We should not chain ourselves and think, oh, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Things are happening. Do you want me to count to you what happened today in the kingdom of God? You would be shocked. You would be literally shocked. What do you think? How many people today believed in the Lord? You don't know, but he knows. Many people. When we hear, sometimes we send our ministerial reports every month, and you just read, and we ask you for a prayer. We pray for somebody and nothing happened. And after 5 years, he was healed and he's saved and he's in the church. So please take your God as a faithful God. Trust in him. Believe in him. Trust that he's always at work and he is the one to do things. You are only a vessel. You could be a vessel of honor today. You will be a vessel, small vessel. Maybe he's want to use you just to reach out to your loving neighbor or maybe cursing neighbor. And then you know that one day that God is working when your neighbor just said, good morning, honey. She would say that your neighbor going to greet you. So you know that your Heavenly Father was at work. Huh? You did not see it because she did not come and tell you. And you see some people, like those servants, when the Lord commanded them, he told them what to do. He gave them authority and told them to watch. What are you watching today? The news, media, reading newspapers, listening to me, or you are literally watching what the Lord did? Sometimes he wants you to watch not only for his coming, because when you are doing his work, then you are ready for his coming. Only where you are slumbering and doing some other things by yourself, say, the Lord is not coming today. And when the Lord comes, then you know what he's going to do. He's literally going to. I don't want to read it. But I will read the good word, part of it from Luke, the Gospel of Luke 12, 35 to 37. He said, the blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And I believe all of us, we are all watching in the night. Everything, what is happening in our world, we are watching, seeing that the Lord receiving a blessing and upon a blessing. What do you think that the people they are telling us that the Lord will not come. You know, there is no rapture. Some theories happening in these days. Oh, well, we have to go through tribulations. I tell people, I don't care about all of that. I want to be ready. When you are ready, whether he will take you here or there, like with the healing, like with the saving, it depends not about where, about who. When you are ready, then the Lord is always ready because he's always at work. And I want you to take this with you tonight. It is his work, not yours. You are in his kingdom. You are part of his kingdom. You are literally bringing his glory to the world. You don't see it in the mirror, but your enemy sees it. The enemy is not literally, not asleep. Sometimes we are asleep. He's never slumbered like God. He's always trying to be at work, you know that? And to put a trembling, you know, stumbling blocks before you. But even that, I don't care about it. Because my Lord, he promised to take care of my enemies. And my worst enemy, imagine who. He was the enemy of God and man. First, God and man. I am done with the papers. I am ready for the Lord. If you have any issue with the Lord tonight, I've been talking for the last 3 nights. I've been praying during the last 3 days, and I will continue praying. And the Lord showed me a few things. Showed me people hungry and thirsty for his presence. Not only for the miracle, but for his presence. Showed me people who are literally willing to give up their free time, the time that he gave them. Showed me people that they want literally to see him, to experience his presence. Show me people who are willing to literally leave everything and go home now. I prefer to see the Lord now, but I say like Paul, please Lord, maybe 2 more days because I have some people that I want to pray for them. So Lord, these are your people. They came here eager. They came here expecting something from your Lord. But you have given them everything. You have given them your kingdom. You have given them your spirit. You have made them immortal while on earth. They have only this vessel to carry this spirit that you prepared a wonderful place in your kingdom of light. Lord, they are here to receive now from you, not from me. I just commit my lips in your hand, Lord. Speak, Lord. If you want to use fire, you can use it. Lord, I keep my eyes open for a reason because sometimes you tell me I do things, so be watchful. I have seen the Lord doing things, amazing things. A pastor of 30 years, he was knocked down on the ground because he had a sin, hidden sin, for 30 long years. 30 long years hidden in his heart. And the Lord touched him that night. And he came before the congregation and confessed. So Lord, touch your people. Cleanse their heart. Give them holy mouths so they can speak words of life, words of wisdom, words of literally reviving. So people could be revived. I see this little girl here. And the Lord, when I came in and I saw her, I had compassion. I wanted to literally, you know, hug her, you know, like Jesus used to hug people. Lord, I want you, Lord Jesus, to give her this hug, to touch her, Lord, to literally lift her higher. Let her see your love and compassion that you literally care about her. I thank you, Lord, that you have some people when they came here, they had some health issues. And I know that you touched some of them, that you healed them, Lord. And I know people that they had issues with themselves, struggling because the enemy is always trying to put a stumbling block, Lord. But I see your hand is moving, removing everything. I see you are opening the eyes, Lord. You know, I claim for them to see your fire. I claim for them to see this open heaven. I claim for them to show them what you showed many of your faithful servants, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, literally, to give a special anointing also for your servant, Pastor Scott. I know, Lord, you brought him so deep, Lord. Bring him deeper. So when you pull him up, Lord, so he will be literally there where you want him to be. Because you have a higher ministry, a different ministry. We call it the ministry of fire. And I claim it right now for him, Lord Jesus. And I ask the Lord, because you are the only one to, anoint with fire, Lord, to literally touch and anoint, Lord. And let him just see right now, Lord, before your people, your glory. I pray, Lord, that everyone who expected more than what I'm saying, Lord, just give them, Lord, because you are a good Father, a loving Father. You want just to give, Lord, and help them, O Lord, to remember that there is eternal night for those who do not believe in you. Help them, Lord, to go to be literally those tents, small, tiny tents, but shining tents, so the world could be changed, Lord, forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
All of you have been prayed over with prayers, not just what was just spoken, but obviously in someone's heart throughout the day. It wasn't just a prayer that began tonight. It was a prayer that began earlier, and we know our prayers reach heaven. We know that the Holy Spirit, as just was explained to us and many times over repeated because of emphasis, that the anointing lives within us. Okay? The anointing, the Holy Spirit, God's power resides within those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, then you have the anointing, you have the power, you have the Holy Spirit residing as the temple, as we've just heard and been instructed tonight, within us. The one thing that the Lord asks us to do, though, many times, and not all the time, but I believe it's most of the time, is to respond. To respond in faith to what has been given to by the Lord. And so, you know, when do we need healing? I'm not going to need it up in heaven. As far as I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, but healing is not going to be needed in heaven. Deliverance is not going to be needed in heaven, right? Salvation is not going to be needed in heaven because it will already been decided down here. So if the Lord gave gifts unto men and he put the anointing within us and he said that he went around and healed and delivered and did these things, then it only makes sense that it's for today. Today is the day of salvation, right? I want to read to you a little story and then you'll know where I'm going with this. Because I don't want you to leave here tonight, especially with Selman being here. And I know the anointing is on him. And he'll understand when I'm done that you need to take a step of faith and take what either the enemy has stolen or just simply take what's been offered to you by God and Jesus and make that move. But I want you to hear this. Stephen Davey told of a recent meeting where the University of Chicago invited the greatest conservative pastoral minds to their divinity school, a school known for being a hotbed of liberalism. Can you believe that? A divinity school that's liberal. It's an oxymoron in my opinion. But this is true. This is a true story. Okay? Chicago School Divinity, and a hotbed of literalism. And they invited these pastors who were very conservative, Baptist pastors, denominational pastors, there to this special event that they were having. They were invited to eat lunch outdoors in a grassy picnic area on a particular day. After lunch, they convened in their theological education center. They invited Dr. Paul Tillich to read some of his work on what he believes about the Bible. So he spent 2.5 hours. Feel blessed. You earned 2.5 hours. This guy was 2.5 hours. He spent 2.5 hours trying to prove Jesus' resurrection false. True story. He tried to prove Jesus' resurrection false. He then asked if there were any questions. After about 30 seconds of stunned silence, an old pastor with a head full of woolly white hair stood up near the back of the auditorium and said, "Dr. Tillich, I have just one question." All eyes turned to look to him. He reached into his crumpled sack, they had a picnic, pulled out an apple, and he took a bite. "Dr. Tillich," he said, crunch, crunch, "my question is a simple question. I haven't read the books that you quoted, and I can't recite the scriptures as you have in the Greek language." You know, as he took another bite of his apple, crunch, crunch. "And I don't know anything about those scholarly men that you've quoted." Munch, munch. He finished his apple, and he said this, "Dr. Tillich, all I want to know is this. Was the apple that I just ate bitter or sweet?" Dr. Tillich paused for a moment and answered in a very scholarly fashion, "I cannot possibly answer that question, for I have not tasted your apple." The white-haired pastor dropped the core of his apple into his paper bag. He looked up at Dr. Tillich, and he calmly said, "Neither have you tasted my Jesus." David wrote, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Folks, Jesus is alive. We're here to honor and glorify him in this life. The chief end of man is to glorify God. If you didn't know that, that's the purpose of mankind. We find other routes that we want to take, as the pastor already indicated, and we go off to the left and to the right and do what we want to do. But the bottom line is God created man in his own image for his pleasure to fellowship with us, and has given us a plan now to follow. And if we don't follow that plan, we'll end up going down the wrong road, and of course we know where they end up. So here it is. Today, if you've never known Jesus as both your Savior, ticket to heaven, and Lord, boss in this life, okay? Now is the time to come forward and ask him into your life. You can't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. He will make, listen to me, he will make his presence known to you through his Holy Spirit we just talked about. Now, in a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides. If you're an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit will be surrounding you, because we have ministers in here today that will come up and pray with you to receive not only Jesus, but the Holy Spirit Jesus promises to those who believe. Then understanding comes. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free from all of those things that you are experiencing. It's Jesus' covenant promise to us. He brings with him not just salvation to go to heaven. He brings with him healing and deliverance as well. The salvation word is sozo in the Bible. And what Jesus meant by that is, I died not just to get you to heaven, or I would have just raptured you all right away. No need for you to be here. He would have just taken us all. That's all salvation meant. But salvation also has incorporated in it, he died for our health. While we're here, we don't need it up there. He died for our deliverance, to be delivered from the oppressive spirits that are trying to steal your faith. This is what salvation is, and encompasses it all. Salvation, healing, deliverance. So please, now, come forward, and we have ministers that will pray for you. If you are in here, and any of those things apply to you, if you feel that you need to recommit your life today to Jesus because you've just been going, like the pastor said, in the wrong direction, or maybe not the full direction that he wants you to go in, get prayer for it. People, where two or three are gathered in prayer, there he is in our midst. He wants to answer our prayers. It's who he is. He's a good father. He's a good daddy. He's Abba Father. Abba meaning an affectionately daddy. When you pray your prayer, do you say, "Our Daddy who art in heaven"? You can. He's that close. Come forward and let our ministers pray for you, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you feel, again, the need to be recommitted, or listen, whatever you need, let's just say that, whatever you need, let us pray for you.